was nice that day that you read when
Oh, it was nice. I was a little worried that it was too much of a mixed audience. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah,
sure. It's just something, it needs sometimes a little editing. You notice we went from the first line of the first paragraph to the first line of the second paragraph. It's amazing how this book covers everything, all the Vaishnava tattva. Harihi Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Hari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This is where we were? Okay. So you just described that of the nine processes of devotional service, then, of all the ways of executing devotional service, the nine prescribed methods are the best. And of the nine, the most important is always to chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the ten kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Then it goes to the next point. O great soul, if you now ask who is a Vaishnava, I give this reply. A person who without offense chants the holy names of Lord Krishna is a Vaishnava. The Vaishnavas are again divided into three groups: Kanista, neophyte; Madhyama, intermediate; and Uttama, advanced. One who from time to time chants the holy names of the Lord is a neophyte devotee. One who always chants the holy names of Lord Krishna is an intermediate devotee. A person the sight of whose face causes others to chant the holy names of Krishna is an advanced devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that one should not use any other criterion to determine who is a Vaishnava. Diving into the nectar of these teachings, the saintly sannyasi began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's interesting, he mentions here a person who chants without offense, and then he starts with the neophyte devotee. So that means it's someone who's consciously trying to follow the process rather than just someone who just chants and doesn't worry about the offenses.
So he's also making the distinction between pure and pure undermined?
Yeah, seems to be. Like here.
Yeah, I think it's sampradayika.
Yeah, sampradayika, yeah. There must be, would be someone who is seriously trying to chant purely, though maybe they're not successful, but at least that's their endeavor, that's their purpose. Mm. Like that, you would think, because otherwise, and then here it seems neophyte who chants not all the time, Madhyama who chants all the time. Interesting, he also says, Lord Chaitanya says this is the only way that you tell the difference. Like that. Not by, the particular dress or other activities, or like there was that one time Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Then someone came to him with this other man and this like assistant actually had to hold the man up. He was always shaking and crying, this, that. And he introduced this Babu, a very advanced person and all that. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj wasn't impressed at all. He made some comment, and then the so-called advanced person, you know, continuing his crying and all this and that, and told the guy, you know, we should go now. You know? So he could see he wasn't getting anywhere with Babaji Maharaj.
This discussion that's taking place, I wasn't here in the beginning, but it reminds me of a section from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the devotees of Saptagrama leaving Puri back to Bengal, and they ask Lord Chaitanya for some instruction before they leave, and he says, always serve the Vaishnavas. And they ask, who is a Vaishnava? And he gives exactly this.
Same answer.
Yeah. First year, he says, anyone who chants. The second year, he says, anyone who chants, whatever the second...
Says one who... The first is one who time to time chants. Second is who always chants.
Right. The first year he said, anyone who chants once is a Vaishnava. The second year they asked the same question and he gave the same answer, and they asked the same question again, who is a Vaishnava? He said, the one who's always chanting. And the third year he said, anyone who by seeing him gives you the... you see him and you want to, you start to chant, that's a Vaishnava. And so in 3 years he gave some Bandhavidaya, Kanishna Madhyam
Uttar.
And it's the same thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given here, but in a very simple...
I would expect that... I saw somewhere where it was mentioning that Mataji, watch your chitters on the lamps. Sometimes you might get them inside. It mentions that it quotes from a huge amount of literatures. It seems that he's culled from all the Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures of the Goswamis. And then from that, then he's compiled this book. Mm. It seems it's just like he's taken all the conclusions and then put them into a novel format. You know? He's novel in both sense. Singing these holy names, he danced again and again. From that day forward, he found great pleasure in chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. Offering dandavat obeisances to his spiritual master's lotus feet, he said, O Master, please be merciful to this fallen person. Chapter 3. The soul's temporary duties are imperfect, horrible, contaminated, and short-lived. Naimitika dharma asampurna he misra or acharastai. Staying on a small hill in Godrum Forest and looking to the north, the saintly sannyasi spent the whole day and 3 hours of the night in chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. When the full moon rose and filled Navadvip Mandala with a wonderful splendor and beauty, the sannyasi placed his glance on Sri Mayapur, which was not very far away. The sannyasi said, Ah, now I can see the wonderfully blissful spiritual abode. The Ganga shore is splendid, garlanded with light from many great jeweled palaces, temples, and archways. In many places, tumultuous chanting of Lord Hari's names fills the sky. Hundreds of devotees playing veenas chant and dance like Narad Muni. In one place, Lord Shiva, the master of the demigods, manifests a white form. Playing a Damaru drum, he chants, O Chaitanya, O maintainer of the universes, please be merciful to me. It's interesting, maintainer of the universe, Vishwambar. So you get, you know, Chaitanya Vishwambar. Yeah. Wildly dancing again and again, he finally falls to the ground. In another place, four-faced Brahma lectures on the Vedas to an assembly of sages. He quotes and then purely explains these words from the Svaita Svatara Upanishad 3.12. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Just to be in touch with him is to be correct with the indestructible Brahma Jyoti. In another place, Indra and the demigods jump and dance. Glory to Lord Gaurachandra, glory to Lord Nityananda. The birds on the branches chirp, Chaitanya Nityananda. Everyone is intoxicated by drinking the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's holy names. From the gardens in the four directions come sweet humming sounds. Intoxicated by drinking the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's holy names. Prakriti Devi, the goddess of the material nature, fills every place with beauty and splendor. Ah, now I see the Sri Mayapur. What can I not see? What do I see now? Remembering his spiritual master, he said, O Master, now I understand. It is by your mercy that I am able to see the spiritual Mayapur. From this day I will stay in the association of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Now that I have seen the spiritual Mayapur, I will wear tulsi beads, tilak, and the writing of the holy names. This I will do. Saying this again and again, the saintly sannyasi fell unconscious for a moment. After a moment, he became conscious again. However, he could no longer see the wonderful spiritual vision he saw before. Weeping again and again, the saintly sannyasi said, I am very unfortunate. By my spiritual master's mercy, I was able for a moment to see the holy abode of Sri Navadvip. The next day, the saintly sannyasi threw his ekadanda in the water, placed tulsi beads around his neck, wore Vaishnav tilak on his forehead, chanted Hari Hari, and danced. Seeing his wonderful new garments and demure, and remarking how fortunate he had become, the residents of Godruma offered dandavada obeisances to him. Embarrassed, the saintly sannyasi said, It is by the Vaishnava's mercy that I am now dressed like a Vaishnava. However, there is still a danger for me. Again and again, I heard from my spiritual master's mouth these words, Sri Shikshastaka 3, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila 20, 21. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Then he remembered his Vaishnava spiritual master. He thought, I should offer my obeisances to him. Again and again, thinking in this way, he approached the Paramahamsa Babaji and offered dandavada obeisances to him. Sitting in his cottage of Madhavi vines, the saintly Babaji was chanting the holy names of Lord Hari again and again. Seeing that the saintly sannyasi had completely changed his garments and was chanting the holy names of spiritual love, the Babaji again and again bathed his disciple with the tears flowing from his eyes. Embracing him, the Babaji said, O Vaishnava Das, by today touching your perfectly auspicious body, my life is now a great success. When he heard these words, the saintly sannyasi at once threw far away his previous name. Now he accepted the name Vaishnava Das. From that day on, the saintly sannyasi began a new life. He threw far away his Mayavadi sannyasi garments and arrogant sannyasi name. In the afternoon, many residents of Sri Prajumna Kunj, Sri Godrum, and Sri Madhyadvip came to see the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. They all sat in a circle around the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. They all chanted the holy names of Lord Hari on tulsi beads. Some chanted, O Gauranga Nityananda. Others chanted, O Advaita, husband of Sita. Others chanted, Glory to the son of Sachin. Chanting again and again, their eyes became filled with tears. All the Vaishnavas conversed about spiritual matters. All the assembled Vaishnavas circumambulated the tulsi plant and offered dandavada obeisances to the assembled Vaishnavas. Then Vaishnava Das circumambulated the tulsi plant, and then he rolled about in the dust that had touched the Vaishnava's feet. The saintly Vaishnava said, This is not the same sannyasi. Now his form is wonderful. Rolling on the ground before the Vaishnavas, Vaishnava Das said, Today I have attained the dust of the Vaishnava's feet. Now my life is a success. By my spiritual master's mercy, I have learned the truth. Without the dust of the Vaishnava's feet, my future is not good. The dust of the Vaishnava's feet, the nectar water that has washed the Vaishnava's feet, and the nectar touched by the Vaishnava's lips are three medicines to cure the disease of repeated birth and death. They cure the disease of repeated birth and death. When he is cured of the disease of repeated birth and death, a person enjoys great pleasure. O Vaishnavas, formerly I was very proud of my great learning, but today there is no pride in my heart. I was born in a Brahmana family, I studied all the scriptures, and I entered the sannyas ashram. In this way, my pride reached the highest point. When I was first attracted to the Vaishnava religion, the seed of humbleness was planted in my heart. Gradually, by your mercy, I have thrown far away the pride I felt from my birth, learning as sannyas. Now in my heart, I know that I am only a small soul, a soul without any shelter. Without taking shelter at the Vaishnava's feet, for me there is no hope. My status as a brahmana, my learning, and my sannyas were actually making me degraded, leading me lower and lower. Therefore I truly make this request at your feet. Please accept me as your servant. Hearing Vaishnava's dasa's humble words, the Vaishnava said, O best of the devotees, we are very eager to attain the dust from the feet of Vaishnavas like Vaishnava Das. Please be merciful and make our lives successful by giving us the dust of your feet. You have attained the mercy of a saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. Please give us your association and purify us. Devotional service is attained by one who associates with devotees like yourself. This is confirmed by the following words of Brihan Naradiya Purana. Quote, devotional service is attained by associating with devotees. The association of devotees is attained by past pious deeds. Therefore, it is because in the past we performed many devotional pious deeds that we have obtained your association. Because we have obtained your association, we may now hope to attain true devotional service. Saintly Vaishnava Das thus stayed among the devotees as they humbly offered obeisances to each other and conversed about devotional service. He looked splendid and glorious as in his hands he held new beads for chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. That day a fortunate person came to that group of Vaishnavas. Since childhood, he was able to read and write the language of the Yavanas. He imitated the activities of the Mohammedan kings, and in their country, he counted himself one amongst them. His home was in Shantipur. He was born in a Brahmana family. He associated with many wealthy men. For many days, he enjoyed all worldly pleasures, but they did not make him happy. At the end, he turned to religion and began chanting the holy names of Lord Hari. When he was a child, he had studied ragas and raginis from a Delhi classical music teacher. He would employ this knowledge in melodiously singing the holy names of Lord Hari. Gradually, he became famous as a singer and musician in Vaishnava circles, and his sweet singing was in great demand. After some days, he began to understand the pleasures that reside in the Lord's holy names with the Vaishnavas there. He stayed at a Vaishnava's ashram. Accompanied by this Vaishnava, he came to the cottage of Malati and Madhavi vines in Prajumna Kunj. Hearing from Vaishnava Das of the Vaishnava's saintliness and humbleness, some doubt still remained in his mind. With boldness and eloquence, he placed a question before the assembled Vaishnavas. He asked, in Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, it is said that the Brahmanas are the best caste. In those scriptures are described the Brahman's regular duties, which begin with chanting the Gayatri Mantra. If these are the regular activities of the best caste, then why are the duties of the Vaishnavas different? The Vaishnavas did not reply. Afraid to dispute with this Brahman logician, they gave no answer. After the asker of the question had sung the holy names of Lord Hari, the Vaishnavas finally said, "The saintly Paramahamsa Babaji will answer your question. His reply will make us happy." Hearing the order of the assembled Vaishnavas, the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji offered Dandavat obeisances and said, O saintly devotees, if you wish, the Sri Vaishnava Das, the best of devotees, will give the proper answer. Everyone was happy with his proposal. Hearing his spiritual master's words and reflecting on his own good fortune, Sri Vaishnava Das said, I am very fallen and I do not possess anything of any value. Therefore, it is not right that I speak very much in the assembly of the saintly and wise. However, the spiritual master's order should always be respectfully carried on one's head. I have drunk the nectar of truth, nectar words that flowed from my spiritual master's mouth. Therefore, I will repeat what I can remember of his words. That I will do. After speaking these words, Vaishnava Das placed on all his limbs the dust from the feet of the saintly Paramahamsa Babaji. And then, offering Dandabhata obeisances, Vaishnava Das spoke the following words. The original form of the Supreme is the supremely blissful Supreme Person, Bhagavan. The impersonal Brahman is the effulgence of his transcendental body, and the all-pervading Supersoul is his expansion. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is the abode of all glory and all pastimes, taught this to us. The Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, which are supplements to the original Vedas, and which explain what should and should not be done, should be followed by the entire world. The religious activities of human beings are of two kinds. One, Vaidhi, spiritual rules and regulations to be followed, and two, Raganuga, spiritual activities to which one is naturally attracted, and which one performs even without being impelled to do so by the rules of the scriptures. When he is under the control of the illusory potency, Maya, the human being must perform Vaidhi spiritual activities. When he is freed from Maya's grip, it's interesting because he has here, instead of freed, he has greed. When he is freed from Maya's grip, the human being need not perform Vaidhi spiritual activities. Then his spiritual activities are Raganuga. Engagement in Raganuga spiritual activities is the pure state of the individual spirit soul, a state that is naturally pure, spiritual, and free from matter. By Lord Krishna's wish, the pure spirit soul may become freed from the grip of matter. However, that is not Lord Krishna's wish. However, from the day Lord Krishna does not wish that the individual soul be liberated, from that dole the soul is thrust into the calamity that is life is in the material world. When he is thrust into the calamity of material life, the soul cannot truthfully be liberated from the grip of matter. When he is truthfully liberated from the grip of matter, the pure soul naturally engages in ragatmika spiritual activities. The spiritual activities of the people of Braja are ragatmika. When the soul still resides in the calamity, that is the material world, these activities are raganuga. As long as he engages in raganuga spiritual activities, the soul in the material world is happy. As long as he does not engage in raganuga spiritual activities, the soul in the material world is attracted to the illusions of Maya. Attracted to Maya, the soul becomes bewildered. Then he is not attracted to pure spirit. It is I and it is mine. Are the two conceptions Maya thrusts upon the soul. Then the soul thinks, this material body is mine, and I am this body. In this condition, the soul loves persons who bring pleasure to his material body, and hates persons who thwart the bringing of pleasure to his material body. Thus the bewildered soul becomes a slave of love and hatred. The bewildered soul thinks others either are his friends or his enemies in three ways. One, sharirila, in relation to material bodies. Two, samajika, in relation to society and social groups. And three, naitika, in context of ideas. One who unlawfully desires gold and women will find himself a slave to pleasures and pains. Sharirila.
La.
Here it says shariri la. It could be ka, because there's a lot of spelling mistakes. Mm. Could be shariri ka. It would be much easier to say, that's for sure.
Okay.
That would mean anything? Shariri la? But shariri ka would be?
Yes, shariri can be made of shariri ka vashya. That's the same meaning.
Uh-huh. Samajika and naitika. So sharir, in relation to that, samaj means groups.
And niti is?
And niti is
niti.
Idea. Nitika. Nitika. Well, I see, all this is just going one right after another. I thought it was going to be a break here. Oh no, here's a little break. One who unlawfully desires gold and women will find himself a slave to pleasures and pains. That condition of life is called samsara, the world of repeated birth and death. One who is attached to the world of samsara is subject to birth, death, karmic reactions, and a variety of living conditions, some high and some low. Thus the souls bound by material illusion wander here and there in the material worlds. However, the souls attracted to spirit do not experience these troubles. They who are attracted to spirit attain their eternal spiritual nature. They who forget they are by nature small particles of spirit fall down into the experience of material life. Staying in the material world, they suffer many misfortunes, although they think they do not suffer misfortunes at all. So the question says it was on Dharma, then he's starting to explain the actual Dharma. What is the... Because it's a very important to actually discussion, Dharma, to understand it. Because it's, if it's understood, then actually the whole devotional process becomes much easier. But generally, the Dharma is only seen in connection with the material world, the material situation. But actually, Dharma... is in connection with everything. You know, what is the spiritual nature in everything? So when we, it's just like, let's say, in when we say Tantra, we generally think of Tantra meaning something in connection with the worship of the material energy and the particular rituals that are there, because that's the, you know, the very prominent. But any kind of ritual is actually Tantra. Tantra, mantra is the words that are used, the verses that are used, and tantra is the ritual that's used. But because for others the ritual is secondary to the worship, like in Pancharatra, the ritual is secondary to the actual pleasure of worshipping the Lord's pleasure there, trying to please Him. So it's done through the medium of ritual. So, but in worshipping the material energy, the ritual is the important thing. The ritual is what gets the result. The ritual is what the faith is in everything. Therefore, because it emphasizes so much the Tantra aspect of the whole process, therefore it's called Tantra. But for others, you don't think of Pancharatra as Tantra, but it is. Means anything. You have sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, tantra. Tantra just means the ritual, like that. So, because it has it's known as ekayana, it's focused on serving the Supreme Lord. It just has one focus, it's not many branched. So in the same way here, then, when we say dharma, then generally what comes to mind means the religious activities of this world, the pious religious activities of this world. Because in this world, for those who are into that, that is the all in all. They perform the Dharma, and from that then they get the material result they want. But actually, it's not limited to that. It means that everything has a Dharma. Dharma simply means is that what is the nature, inherent nature of something that you can't change. So when you approach the study of what is the nature of all things from the scriptures, then it gives the most important elements of that, you know, for the human being to see, then in connection to you know, how to say, the Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, then the four orders of life and the four economic processes. So then with that, then we generally take that alone as Dharma. And sometimes not even that. Some people can't even understand that as Dharma. But in any case, that's taken. But everything, what it does, everything is has its Dharma. So the most important thing is, what is the nature of the soul? What is the nature of God? What's the actual nature of the material world? So that was explained in a previous discussion. Therefore, it appears this discussion then is starting on the next higher level. But before he described, the material nature is actually here for the purpose of rectifying the souls and taking them back to Godhead. So whatever their improper mentalities are, then Krishna has arranged a reaction to correct that mentality. And whatever aspect the mentality is progressive, then there is a very nice fruit of result, like one worships the spiritual master, like we see Bali Maharaj. And from that, he got great result. He conquered the heavenly, the whole universe, like that. While Indra, he disrespected his spiritual master, he lost the universe. So for those who are absorbed in the sphere of the material activities, they don't see beyond. So for them, approaching the spiritual master is a way to get material prosperity. And to not do it is understood as a way to lose prosperity. So this interaction then is then what we would call material piety. But we have to go beyond that. What is the nature of the soul? What is actual nature? You know? So when we understand the material world is actually to rectify, means one is being rewarded because his mentality is actually correct for performing spiritual activities, though he may not be. And his activities that are incorrect, what we call sinful, are wrong for spiritual activities. So then there's a punishment. So therefore, for the devotees, the same process is there. When they follow those things that are progressive in spiritual life, then there's prosperity. When they follow things that are against the spiritual life, then there is problem. But for the devotee, he goes beyond this mundane religion. Though he says here, it's supposed to be followed by all. It is followed by all. But it's a difference in whether you make this the all in all, or whether you make pleasing Krishna the all in all. So then that takes us into the realm of those who follow the rules and regulations, because they should be followed, and the benefits you get or the losses you'll make from not following them, that is called Vaidhisadhana. Then one is performing spiritual activities because of the desire to please Krishna and the pleasure that one gets from those activities, that's called Raganuga. So in here, it appears he's described it in two ways. One is when one is freed from conditioned life, then that's where Raganuga starts, and before that is Vaidhi. At the same time, is then he makes the distinction in the spiritual realm, that's rag-atmika. It means rag means attachment. So rag-atmika means the attachment to Krishna is their life, their atma. So rag-atma. And then rag-anuga means following in the footsteps of those with rag, those who have that attachment to Krishna. So here in this, then he's made a distinction between vaidhi, being on the conditioned platform, the Raganuga being on the freed from the conditioned platform, and or the Brahmabhuta platform, and Ragatmika being on the transcendental platform. It means complete, purely transcendental, in other words, in love for Krishna, the Brajavasis. So he goes up that way, but then when he comes down, then he puts it that those who are conditioned follow Raganuga, and those who are freed follow Ragatmika. So then this can naturally create a seeming contradiction or a confusion in here. Because there's many overlapping aspects depending upon the particular individual. The one thing is always clear is the platform of prema, that's always ragatmika. Means that one is working on the purely transcendental platform. So that's clear. Then we see that from the Brahmabhuta platform, that can be either done as ragatmika or as raganuga. Technically, both are working. One is performing the activities of ragatmika, but one is a raganuga because one is learning how to do them. Means in one's spiritual form, one is performing all the duties that all the other pure Vaishnavas are doing, which are Hura Ragatmika. So the activities are Ragatmika. But one's mood is Raganuga, because you're just learning how to become a member of the spiritual realm. So you get this overlap there. And then on the conditioned platform, you can, by Vaidhi, come to the platform of... I mean, how you say it? The beginning stages of devotional service all start in Vaidhi. But the intermediate stages in sadhana then can either continue with Vaidhi up to Brahmabhuta, then they will switch into Raganuga, or one can start at an earlier stage with the Raganuga. But in both cases, the important element, the deciding factor is anartha nivritti. So at least when one comes to nishta, one can start like the basic concepts of Raganuga, if that awakens, if within the heart one is inspired to do the various services and always be engaged in spiritual activities and chanting the holy name constantly. With that not that it's the Shastra says I should do it, but because you like doing it, but then that takes on the flavor of that Raganuga. But if not, if one is doing because one should do these things, it doesn't matter. Either one will take one to the transcendental platform. So here you have, so these things, you know, they need to be discussed. I think later on they'll be discussed in great detail near the end of the book, yes.
Well, earlier on in the beginning of the third chapter you read that we attain the association of the Vaishnavas by previous pious activity.
Yeah.
So that could be missing. I was wondering if you could explain the three different kinds of sukriti so we could have a clear idea of what
he's meaning. Well, here he did say, he said that's pious, they quoted the verse, but then you see when they're discussing, they say devotional activities.
Mm-hmm.
So it means bhakti sukriti. Jnana and karma sukriti will never get bhakti because there's no connection between them.
Mm-hmm.
Means the karma and jnana sukritis are actually the perverted reflections of bhakti. Bhakti is the real substance. And these other two are the reflection, just like the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. It looks the same. You know, it's basically, if you check, everything is the same. That's why we can relate to it. Otherwise, it was totally different. Then, if we give a description of the spiritual world, we couldn't relate to it. Right? It means the ground is down, the sky is up, you know, the trees grow out of the ground, the leaves are up, the roots are down, you know, water stays in the ground, and it's wet, and inside are fishes and all these different things, and you know, lotuses grow there, and the breeze blows, and you know, people look the same, and everything is same. But there, it's in its perfect original form. While here, it's in the perverted, reflected form, like that. The perversion meaning in the spiritual world, it's done for Krishna, and here, it's done for ourselves. That's the perversion. Though the form of it basically looks the same. Yeah.
And that sin of humility he's talking about, that means he's given opportunity for service by his working?
Yeah. It means that when one performs devotional activities like that, which naturally are going to be coming from Vaishnavas, means devotional service only comes from devotees, it doesn't come from somewhere else. So by the mercy of the devotees, it comes. So they will be pleased, and that will plant the seed. Like he mentioned before, is that he was, you know, born in a Brahmin family, he was well studied in the scriptures, he took sannyas, he was well respected for his position. So he became very proud. But then when he came in contact with the Vaishnava devotees, that planted the seed of humility. Like, because humility is the key to get into the spiritual world, because humility then means service, like that. It means service. So then that is what is necessary to be able to always chant and to always to see oneself as a servant. So that's the key. If you don't see ourselves as a servant, then there's a problem. That's why it says that we feel we're an advanced devotee, a great devotee, or a spiritual master of devotees. Then that will keep us actually from attaining perfection. We won't get prema, and we'll get stuck. Because the pride is there, when it should be humility. Because if we're proud, then how will we be the servant? So it's a very, very fine point. So that humility was planted at that time. So by the devotee's arrangement, then we get opportunities to perform service. By that service, then we get the sukriti to actually get the association of Vaishnavas. So by devotees, then the seed of devotional service is planted. So then comes Shraddha. From Shraddha then comes Sadhu Sangha. Right? So by that performance of service, they give us the opportunity. When we take it, that gives the sukriti in which we can actually get their association. So the first getting of association has nothing to do with us. It's not because, I was very thoughtful about different things. I was spiritually inclined, interested in spiritual life, and not so much into the material things and this and that, and therefore I came to devotional service. No, none of that. Like that means our idea of what's philosophical and what's pious, is like, the difference between night and day. When we hear about the great personalities, what is their piety and what is their thoughtfulness? It's so much, but there's so many, and it is material. So many, greatly thoughtful, greatly pious, but material. They wouldn't have a clue about transcendental, real transcendental life. They know about Brahman, they know about these kind of things. So that is not the qualification. The qualification is just we were interested, so therefore the Vaishnavas then would be inclined to come and give us something. Because they give to those who are innocent. They don't give to those who are inimical. So when we're innocent, then they give. So then when they give and we take it, then we get their mercy that we can get their association. Otherwise, if we don't take it, then that won't happen. So it's a very... So therefore, bhakti comes from bhakti. And the carrier of that bhakti is the Vaishnavas. That's the key. Many times we try to just put us, probably I'm doing it myself, but no, it's only coming from the Vaishnavas. As in yesterday's discussion with the thing of the spiritual master, as Krishna has entered everything, then whatever is, he's entered everything. But those things are in connection with us in our devotional service that the spiritual master has entered. Like that. So therefore, our support is actually the spiritual master. The disciple's support is the spiritual master. Therefore, whatever is there, that potency that's there, that's the spiritual master. Of course, Krishna is there. It means, so a spiritual master, Krishna is there, everybody's there. So then that becomes a connection. Therefore, then the regard for everything has to be very great.
Yeah. So that would mean that our following the
Sampradaya
has to be a very conscious, ongoing
commitment. Means it's there, but they've come to remind us. They've come in the form of everything that is supporting our devotional service. Like that. So that's it.
So the qualification for meeting a devotee and getting a devotee's mercy seems to be innocence.
Yeah, that innocence and that desire to know. But we don't actually know what is God. So our thought, I'd like to know God, because it's connected to God, makes it a proper inquiry. But our thoughts about what is Godness, we don't know what is spiritual. Therefore, factually, our inquiry is still mundane. It's still on a mundane platform. The results we're expecting to get are also mundane. Mm-hmm. Because most people, they contact God and they get some bread, out of it, or, like that, or, saves their child from dying, or something mundane. So we're not actually looking deep, but just because we've inquired, then Krishna arranges, we get the association of the Vaishnavas. And then if we take that association, because we've taken that itself was service. So that was the service that qualifies us. Means by desiring to know, then Krishna arranges that we get the association of the Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. But if we don't take that association, then it's not that thought before was anything special. Right? Such a person then becomes the lowest of mankind.
What is the qualification to take the association?
The qualification basically comes from just the opportunity that the Vaishnavas present. Mm. Basically, it's just you do what they offer you to do. Because otherwise we wouldn't know it's devotional service. So they bring some prasad and say, eat it, and then we eat it. Then we've done devotional service. We followed their instructions and this and that. So on our own, separate from the Vaishnavas, without their influence, the devotional service wouldn't be performed.
But also, there's an invisible link between the script, the Vaishnava, the demigods, and Krishna himself. Mm. So they probably all work together as a team on this.
Yeah. That's all connected.
But when we take it, doesn't that involve faith?
No. First there's Agyata Sukriti. It doesn't require faith at all. You Ratha Yatra goes by, and the idea is you can see the Lord, and He can see you. So if you look and you wonder, what is this? And you see, that was Agyata Sukriti. But you've gotten that Agyata Sukriti because the devotees, under the, you know, the inspiration of their spiritual master and the Lord, arrange the Ratha Yatra for you to see. Right? Like that. So that's, it's unknown pious activity. But that you've done it because it's theirs, then by you accumulate enough of that, then you get the association with Vaishnavas. So you just see there, you've done something. And if you don't inquire anymore or take any more interest, then they'll stay there for a while. Krishna will catch us later. But if from that, then we wonder, what was that, this, that, we inquire more, we find out more, then in a very short time you can perform enough of Agyata Sukriti to take up devotional service. Like you hear the story of, I think, just in connection with Ratha Yatra, I think it was Manu Dvisa. He was walking along, I guess just roaming. He had no place, I don't think he lived any place or something at the time, or he was just traveling. He had a little backpack. You know, it must have been quite small. And he was just walking along, and then while he was walking, I think he was going through Golden Gate Park or something, where the Ratha Yatra was happening in San Francisco. He saw the Ratha Yatra and thought, this looks interesting. You know, join that. He threw his backpack up onto the cart, and then just took part in the parade. And when the parade was over, then he just went with the devotees back to the temple, and that was it. He was a temple devotee. So in that short time, he had gotten together enough Sukriti to want to take advantage and take the association of Vaishnavas.
Same thing happened with Janani, when he came through an intermodal club. Prabhupada was standing on his level of the building. And he saw him coming, he had long hair and jeans and all things. I said, well, he's our new pachara.
Oh, really?
You know.
What about if they're going along with, when they see the Ratha Yatra and they're drinking beer and they're, someone quoted some shastra to me that if someone doesn't rise when the Ratha Yatra passes, then he'll suffer some sinful reactions quite
strongly. That's for people who know. It means someone who knows that rising is the proper thing to do, they'll suffer. At the same time is the other person, anybody who doesn't anyway, because that's what you're supposed to do and they should know anyway. So that they don't know is because as a result of bad karma. It means they knew before, they didn't apply it, so therefore they put into a situation, you know, a family, a lifestyle, in which they don't even know it. So therefore, automatically. So that person would get the reaction to go to hell for that, for not rising and this and that. But at the same time, it's because he sees the Ratha Yatra, that will be more powerful. So if he takes advantage, in other words, both things will be happening. Material energy is doing her job anyway. But the point is devotional service is so powerful, just a drop of that will erase a universe of sin. You know, it's just like one small little, I mean, you have this huge room and it's full of darkness, overwhelming amount of darkness. And you only have this one little dinky light, but that one light will dissipate all the darkness. Like that. So both of those things are there. Because it's said that someone who even you know, derisively chants Hare Krishna, he gets benefit. Not only that, all of his you know crazy friends that are with him, them hearing him chant also get benefit. Right? You know, one punk amongst a group of punks goes, Hare Krishna. Then he and all his friends got benefit because they heard him and he chanted. So it's,
he's
the guru. Yeah. He's the non-guru, right?
There was one person when we were doing Harinam in, I think it was Sydney. And every week he would throw beer bottles or beer cans at the higher empire. But after, you know, a couple of months, you joined.
Yeah, so many you get like that. There were so many devotees, they come and they argue this, that, and because they're just, they perform. You know, he would come every time to see the devotee and he'd hear the holy name. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, the holy name is so clever, you know, just gets around all this.
There was a devotee, was a Jehovist. He used to come to the temple and argue with the devotees, wanted to make them to be Jehovist. And the devotees used to tell him, Alright, just take some prasad and we continue. He was eating, after something they begin to eat.
Yeah. I've heard of a few like that. So, you know, real hardcore, like atheists, they just argue with the devotees. They love prasad. So after about 7 weeks or 9 weeks of coming every week to argue with the devotees, then they became a devotee. Well, the devotees didn't really preach to him much, because, you know, how do you preach to someone like that? So they just would feed him the same thing. Just take prasad. Take so much prasad, and then we'll talk later, you know, like this. And
so could we say that Agyata Sukriti is synonymous with Ashtanga?
No. See, Agyata Sukriti will develop the Shraddha, but we have to understand the Agyata Sukriti has come from the devotees. So when we say the process is Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, but the Shraddha has come from the devotees. They plant the seed, then when it increases, then we take proper shelter of the Vaishnavas. Because in that stage of Agyata Sukriti, we're not really taking advantage of the association of Vaishnavas. Means all of these nine stages are conscious. So in the beginning, before that Shraddha has taken place, that Agyata Sukriti, we're not conscious. We don't know it's devotional service. We don't really know their devotees or what it means or anything. But it is the association of devotees. But here it means association, meaning that we know what we're, who we're doing. We know these are Vaishnavas, and we respect them, and we take care. Right? Otherwise, you might just you find their nature is nice. You see them as gentlemen. They're nice people. So that'll be Agyata Sukriti. And from that Shraddha will grow, that then you want to associate with these people. So that will be then Sadhu Sangha.
When is the Shraddha planted and how does it grow? Like Agyata Sukriti is there, and then?
Yeah.
When is the Shraddha start and develop?
When?
I mean, the Living Entity makes the...
Means you want to... Means
the Living Entity makes the...
September 17th at, 5:03 a.m. You know, means... What do you mean?
I mean to say that the Living Entity makes the endeavor to get, to develop the Shraddha, start it and develop it?
No, by when the Agyata Sukriti increases enough, it naturally arises.
Most of the Shrimad Chakravarti Thakur talks about the Lord's role in this, that he actually enters into the network of the Lord's intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And he actually prompts and sort of makes pathways in thinking patterns as well as your external reality.
Yeah.
So if you take it on, if you have
it. Well, he'll open the door, it's up to you to go through it. You know, hey, check this out. You know, good, sure. Yeah, so between the Lord and the devotees, then it will happen. You know, it's like you have some milk and you're pouring sugar into it. At what point does it become sweet?
There's meeting with the devotee and receiving his mercy, then there's Shraddha that comes from the devotee. Then Sadhu Sangha means actually serving the devotee, taking initiation from the devotee, following his instructions, engaging in the process of devotion, bhajana kriya that's given by him. So Shraddha only comes from a devotee, but it's not counted as the Sadhu Sangha, because Sadhu Sangha means when you're actually following the instructions and you've surrendered to the devotee, taking initiation from him. That is Sadhu Sangha. Before that, it's a meeting, and the Shraddha is given. It's given to the heart.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because you see, sometimes there's these you know, not an uncommon thing, like a elderly kind of intellectual kind of person likes to come over to the temple just because the devotees are very kind of intriguing people and he likes the food, you know. You many times find that they really like the food. So they eat and then they like to have these interesting discussions with the devotees because they just intrigue their intelligence, you know. So it's not really sadhu sangha. They've gotten the association of devotees, but it wouldn't be what you call sadhu sangha. From his side, it means technically he is associated with devotees, but from his side it's the same interesting thing. With time, then it may get to the point where he has faith that what these devotees say is the absolute truth. Then at that time, then he surrenders and takes shelter, like what he was explaining.
Isn't it also important to remember that the shroud is an ongoing thing?
Yeah. Yeah, when you have complete faith in the whole thing, then right? Because you're getting, what is it? There's a definition probably gives a shraddha. Something like, not faith, something is something amazing. He uses some nice words.
Faith is a trust in something sublime.
Yeah, trust in something sublime. So when that trust is complete, you know, in Krishna, then that's called prema. Like that, so the trust is a little bit more. So there's some is that the philosophy is correct, that's called shraddha. Then when you see that, that trust is in the people who are giving you or speaking that and living that, then that's called sadhusanga. Then when the trust is in the process that they follow, then that's called vajanakriya. You know, when the trust deepens into that my attachment to the material world is my source of misery. And giving up that attachment will be my release or my happiness, then that is called anatta nivritti.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry, but I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it on paper.
Yeah, it means that we're taking this as the definition of faith is trust in something sublime, and then you made the point that Prabhupada says mature faith is prema. Then when we begin, when we have trust that this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is correct, it is the absolute truth, then that's called shraddha. Then we start the process like that. And then we have trust that those persons who are giving that to us, who are living that, you know, then that is called sadhu sangha. And then when the trust is in the process that they're following, we want to become like them, we take up the process they follow, and that's called vajanakriya. And when we have the trust that our happiness lies in the spiritual realm and spiritual activities and not in material, so therefore we give up our attachments to the material and just keep the spiritual, then that is called anartha nivritti. When we become situated in that performance of spiritual activities is actually the process, then that will be nishta. Then when that deepens and then we have the trust that the holy name is the all end all and be all of everything, that there's nothing else more important than that, then that's called ruchi. Right? Then when we see the name as the Lord, and you know all his qualities and everything like this, and we become very absorbed in the Lord's, you know, qualities and activities, and that will be called the sakti. Now when that trust is in the transcendental association of devotees in the spiritual realm, that's really where, that here there's nothing, it's the spiritual realm. We've completely given up any idea of the material world. That's called, you know, the higher level, the perfection of anartha nivritti. You know, then we come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. So that stage is then bhava. And then when that matures, that full faith in just that pleasing Krishna is the topmost, and that becomes prema.
Yeah.
With, it's, I think you read that the those who are situated in the spiritual world are ragatmikas. Those who are on that level in the material world are called raganudas.
Mm.
But it seems that the ragatmikas, you touched on the point, are also raganudas.
Yeah.
And that the one, I think even Radha and Krishna are raganuga, in that Radharani is always going towards Krishna.
Technically speaking, there's a verse in Nectar Devotion that says she is the devotee. Everyone else is assisting her.
Mm.
So she is the actual one who is rag atmika. At the same time, it's for Leela, then even though there are expansions of her, you know,
mm.
then means as the Swarup Shakti,
mm.
not as the taking the position of the personification of the Vladini Shakti, but as Swarup Shakti. Then you have Mother Jashoda, Nanda Maharaj, then you have Sridham, Sudham, Subal, Madhu Mangal, you know, these prominent personalities. Then also in your all the other servitorship and the Shantaras. Then they're all, well, technically they are the ragatmika bhaktas. And all the others, even though they are nitya siddhas, they are performing the ragatmika sergavas, they are performing it following the footstep of who's the head of their line.
Mm.
You know? Mm. So that way then you'll get within that, that they will also be simultaneously ragatmika and raganuga. Right? Because those who are, let's say, following Rupa, they're raganuga of his bhakti.
Mm.
So he will be taking as, because he has the rag of that attachment to Radha and Krishna. So he's ragatmika for us. But at the same time is, he is following in the footsteps of others. You know? So like that. So you get all the way up. So basically, you know, then that means who's the head of the line is technically fully. But this is a subtle point, which Sri Prabhupada brings this out, the Nectar Devotion. Some say it's the devotees, because they didn't understand the terminologies, mixed them up. But one might also doubt that. Because it's a very clear thing, yes. Prema, from prema on, that means ragatmaka. Because the rag is their life.
Mm.
But at the same time, is there also raganuga, of whoever is the head of the line, because that's the symptom of raganuga, is that you follow in the footsteps of a particular devotee.
Mm.
Like that. So that's the definition. So then, if that's there, then that means they're the ragatmika, we're the raganuga. The same time as it's on the platform of that ragatmika. Like you said, all the residents of of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, they're performing a ragatmika service. It's just like Balaram. He's simultaneously the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Servant. Like that. So it's like that. It's a double thing.
What is the situation of those who are in
Brahma? Let's say. Means in the manifest pastimes or unmanifest?
In the those are being trained up, but within the material realm.
But means you're talking from Swarup Siddhi, or you're talking below? That's raganuga.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually where raganuga begins.
Mm-hmm.
Means where you can say that it actually works. Because before that, if it awakens, mm-hmm. but one only has a general idea, because you don't know who you are, so you can't really perform any particular service. You can be inspired by the service that the others are doing, that the ragatmika devotees are doing. Therefore, it's called raganuga. But you yourself can't do it.
What about in manas?
No, that's called sahajya.
But are those who are doing that service in manas, are they physically in the...
They're physically inside the pastime in their spiritual form.
Being trained.
Yeah, so when you have the form, then you can do that. It's called... It's considered in the mind, because the body is sitting here, so just through the mind, mm-hmm. then you are performing activities in your spiritual form.
You know? So it's not through vastu sitting that you can be called varatmika?
Yeah, vastu then you can be called. But mm-hmm. at Srup City, then it'll simply be called, that's Raganuga. But that's where the real Raganuga starts. Mm-hmm. Before that, it is like the preliminaries of it. Like that. When you're talking about, see, that's the thing, is when you're talking about, that's why you take the vision from two angles. Is because it has to be put into its place, depending upon the situation. So compared to the platform of Bhava, then the Raganuga before that is lesser, and it's different. Like that. The Sahajiyas don't make that distinction. They try to take the platform of Bhava, the Bhav Sadhana, when they're below that stage, when they're still conditioned. Therefore, it's called Sahaja, easy, cheap.
Isn't it also called
Yeah, that may be the technical, I don't know, maybe a technical
but
word.
But it's actually just in the mind, and it means that if death, I'll come back as some woman in a village.
Yeah. Means it's only in the mind. But the point is through the mind you go into the spiritual form that you have, that has to be revealed, like that. And so then... That is Raganuga, because then you are following and being trained under others until you come to the platform of Purva Rag. Then you get in and then you become part of the thing, then you get fully trained, then that turns into Vastasiddhi. You know, then becomes Prema. So that's there. So to put it into you know, its proper proper perspective that's looked at it like that. Same time as when you come down to the sadhaka platform, then it must be understood that Raganuga is higher. Raganuga will be higher than the Vaidhi. Like that. So Raganuga sadhana is higher than Vaidhi sadhana, but Raganuga sadhana is lower than Bhav sadhana, lower than Prema. So depending upon which angle you're looking at, so for general devotees, it's understood it's higher. But for those who are within the field, then it may be your lower, middle, or higher level. That way then, from either side, that one can keep the proper perspective and proper balance. Otherwise, and the tendency will be to become proud or to misapply the process. You know, jump ahead when one is not qualified, like that.
That's what Prabhupada is known as the basis to prevent that sahajism.
What is the basis?
By giving nam, by celebrating nam, that's everything will be revealed by nam.
Yeah, like that. Means it'll be revealed, because otherwise you can say whatever you like, but it doesn't mean that one can operate it. So the point is, revealing it and being able to operate it, the best is that it happens at the same time, like that. And so the whole thing, it will be done. These are the advanced, either the Lord or the spiritual master or another resident of the transcendental realm will come and reveal it, like that. It will be revealed, like that. It doesn't require that the spiritual master is present here and reveals it here. Because the point is when he reveals it, he has to reveal it there anyway. It means he can tell you here, but unless you realize it, which is realized there, not here. So the point is the whole thing is if he's standing here and letting you realize what's there, or he's standing there and revealing what's there, it doesn't matter. The point is it has to be realized there.
And you have to be at least from the Buddha.
Yeah, when you come to the Brahmavutta stage, then its revelation has meaning. Otherwise, before that, it doesn't. It means you had it, but you can't operate it, you know. You know, it's just, you have to wait anyway.
So is it that stage that Gyan loses its importance?
At Brahmavutta, Gyan loses its importance. Mm-hmm. Even if you're, it loses its importance.
But I heard in one lecture that till Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, this practice of devotional service, even when you're in the conditioned stage, is perfection. I mean, Siddha Pranali was, I mean, basically it's a bona fide system. But
no, it's a misunderstanding of the point. That's all. So whoever's saying that misunderstood the point.
But then he continued to say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur rejected it, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur rejected it and placed
emphasis on it. He never rejected it. He didn't reject it. Baba doesn't reject it.
You reject practice before you...
Like this, okay, let us put it this way. Just even taking this story here. Now, this story is about a Paramahamsa Babaji in Navadvip. You know, around the time of, probably by the looks of it, just a little after Lord Chaitanya. Prajumna Brahmachari is still there, who is one of the Lord's eternal associates. And along into this story suddenly comes walking, you know, just a meat-eating, malecha hippie, you know, who a few years back became a vegetarian, totally into sex, totally into drugs, walking around naked is his preferred mode of existence. Right? And then this whole pastime is going on, right? Isn't that what's happening here? Yes?
No. Sorry.
Okay. In this pastime is walking a highly born, qualified Brahmin, studied in all the scriptures, has taken sannyas, has seen a pure Vaishnav, and has been affected by that to the point where the seed of devotional service has been planted. That person is coming along. Right? And very carefully, step by step, he is studying, learning all these things. He came to the Babaji. Did any of us come to the Babaji? No. The Babaji came out and got us. Right? Babaji came out and got us. There's not one devotee in this movement, or I would even dare to say in the whole Gaudiya mission, who they, out of their own qualifications, came and found either Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Srila Prabhupada. Right? Prabhupada was in India. Nobody came. He went to America, then people noticed. So, but he went to them. So therefore, the process hasn't been changed. But who is coming forward and taking up the process has changed. The process hasn't changed. Yeah? Is this man, you know, having trouble on questions about the four regulative principles? Are our devotees after 30 years still questioning the four regulative principles? So then, what's the difference? 30 years doesn't mean anything. 30 years and you still can't accept four, it has to be 3.5 or 3, then what do you want? What do you want? You know?
I asked the Madhva about, I said, our acharya has given four principles, nominating, gambling, intoxication. What would you say about that? And he laughed. And I said, you know, surely, you know, you have these principles in you. And he laughed. He says, these are the most basic, primary human principles. We won't even consider these principles. He says, we have many more principles than this.
Yeah, he says, this is just where human life starts. Not following the four regs, you're not talking about human life. Someone who doesn't follow is not a human. The two legs, they're an animal, they're performing devotional service. There's no bar to animals performing devotional service. That's what we have to understand. Just because we're performing devotional service doesn't make us a human. It makes us a devotee. Hanuman's not a human. Right? The dog who, you know, Lord Chaitanya was throwing scraps to and making him chant, he wasn't a human, he was a dog. You know? Right? We have to understand it. Four regular principles means human. Not following is not a human. You know, due to our pride, it's very hard to digest, because we're very proud of our human, you know, sentiments and feelings. But these are animal sentiments and feelings. Human being starts here. Human being starts with inquiring about this. Human being starts with Varnashram. Prabhupada just said, every time he talks Varnashram seriously, he says human life starts here. Then he goes on to say that what we're trying to get is beyond human life. We're trying to get the transcendental life. Therefore, though he says human, it must be done, just like the sannyasi, he said, Manu, these rules, they have to be followed. Everybody follows them. But what we're trying to get to is so far beyond that. That's just like the basic stage. You know, it's just like you want to, let's say, play a musical instrument. So then the first thing is how to hold it. Right? But if somebody doesn't want to hold it, you know, no, I don't have to hold it to play it. You know, yeah, you play your trumpet from 3 feet away. I don't know how you do it, but, you know, you can say, it sounds great. No, it's the bob, you know, it doesn't matter that I hold it and put it to my lips, it's just the mood makes it play. You know, but if you talk to any real musician, they'll say, this person's crazy. But to other crazy people, it sounds great. No, I don't have to follow these rules, it's just the mood. You know? Yeah. But that's not reality. Reality is something else. So that's just the platform you start from. You know, like you want to cook, you have to have a fire and a pot and some spoons and something to put in the pot. And if you say, no, I'll cook without any of that, you know, just the mood, it'll happen. You know, it doesn't happen. The mind is not the authority. That's why mind has to be controlled by intelligence. The process is called buddhi yoga. And even that we're going beyond. Right? So therefore, all this mano-dharma is just, it's rejected. That's Bhagavatam. Second verse just throws it right out. First order of business means first is a respect to the Supreme Lord. Once that's done, been done, the first point that Bhagavatam says is this treatise is going to throw out anything except for actual devotional service. Anything just made up by anybody's mind, that's immediately thrown out. Like that. We're talking reality. Bhagavatam's reality. So it's not a matter of speculation or what someone likes. No, it's just reality. You know? We like it or not, it's just the way it is. So it's a very good.
I think he was asking about the process of Siddha Pranali Diksha that it was given previously.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is the people before were qualified. Mm-hmm. They'd walk in. They had faith in Guru. They could follow these principles. They could do, and within a very short time, they could come to an advanced platform. Therefore, it could be given while they're still alive, while the spiritual master is still present. What I'm saying is, for us, it doesn't seem to be very practical, because what I'm saying is, after 30 years, still devotees are contemplating whether Varnashram is our process of social interaction or not. Right? Most devotees who say Varnashram will say Lord Chaitanya rejected it very confidently. You know? Very confident. He rejected it as the absolute truth. He didn't reject it as a process. He followed it himself. You know, he would only eat at Brahmins' houses. He wouldn't let women come within 50 feet of him. You know, he wouldn't sleep on a mattress. He wouldn't use the sandalwood oil given by Jagannanda Pandit. That's Varnashram, more strict than anything that Prabhupada's given us. And Lord Chaitanya, as an absolute goal, no. It's just a part of the process. It's like the foundation that you, the social process, foundation that you put the devotional process on. You have to work within this world. And Krishna says, I have nothing to do, but I come here and follow Varnashram. If I didn't do it, no one would do it. So the Vaishnavas also, they don't have to do it, but they do it because it's supposed to be done. But that's for those who are freed from it. Those who are conditioned, without following it, they don't have what is their social? Right? What is the social interaction? Right? When it's New Year's and we have devotees are selling the Happy New Year having New Year's parties. When it's Christmas, they're having Christmas parties. What's that called? That's called conditioning. And conditioning of what? It's an Asian conditioning? It's a Western conditioning. So they're going to follow some religion. So now it's if they want to follow the traditional Vaishnava religion or they want to follow the religion of their forefathers. You know, the religion of Abraham and the religion of Moses. So the thing is the point is that it hasn't changed. The people that are coming to the gurus are not coming, the gurus are having to go out and get. Before they came to the gurus, now the guru has to go out and get them. Right? So that's why there's a difference. But the point is it's not limited by time and space. We impose that on there. Spiritual master doesn't have to be present here. To offer that. If you are, then you're saying the spiritual master is his body. Right? And he's limited by time and space. No. When we're ready for it, when the soul's ready, he will be told. You know? Krishna was so nicely arranged when we thought, what is going on here? He sent us the devotees. And so that we could come in contact and take up the vasa. So surely Krishna can arrange that we find out who we are if we're on that platform. Because otherwise, if we tell you today, what will happen? Right? We say, okay, you know, you are, you know, this certain, you know, peacock that, you know, sits in this, you know, in the foyer of, you know, Nanda Maharaj's house. Then what will happen? And then they say, wow, this is great, and you go home with your wife and discuss it. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if we go back in time, when you're told that, there would be no more wife. That's the point. Therefore, it's not given now.
Yeah, that's exactly what my question was. If you're not qualified, how can you ever get into it? Like,
you can't. You can't. That's the point. You can't get into it. So that's why it's not even discussed. It's there. If you know what it is, you can see it. Prabhupada talks about it. But if you're not qualified, you won't know he's talking about it. You understand? So that's the whole thing. So there isn't a change. Though it's a popular thing to be said now is they changed the process. They didn't change the process at all. Process stays exactly the same. Just devotees have changed. Here, if you see this devotee, he's chanting the holy name. He hears about this and he's seeing Navadvip. Navadvip is revealed to him. Like that. So these are the kind of people that are on that platform. So it's there so we understand and we're inspired and we endeavor to come to that platform.
But is there some reason why today, I mean, you hear so many great devotees over the last 500 years, but then, is it that, I mean, you don't get to hear of these kind of devotees in, say, in the recent past, or, I mean, we say, okay, so is there any, you know?
Whatever, these things don't matter, right? Krishna is God, no matter what.
Yes. And I heard also that Bhakti Sarada Saraswati, when he was like 5-6 years old, for him also the world now that revealed that time he was 5-6 years old.
Yeah. Yes, there's so many.
So, and he was just recently.
So many Vaishnavas. What is going on? What is what? You know, I mean, it's just you can see all these things going on. I think I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, Prabhupada in the Jaldita. Yeah. When he was in the
yeah, we're talking about Prabhupada and Bhakti, but in general.
Yeah,
my grandmother.
One is enough. When you're talking about reality, one is enough. You know, you don't have to have hundreds, and one is enough. Yeah,
Because the point is here in Navadvipa, it means where we're sitting now, there's, you know, it means what he's talking about is going on. Lord Brahma's here giving lectures on, you know, how in this Veda, you know, then it says this verse, and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, Lord Shiva, is dancing in ecstasy. All the past, everything's going on here.
Vaishnava's a plain Venus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was fun.
He's talking Godrim, wasn't he?
He's looking from Godrim
to the north. Yeah, north.
So it's like Bhakti Vinod. Everybody is over there doing those things.
They could be over there, they could be over here, they can move anywhere. That's probably where they, you know, there's their seat. But it says he was sitting here looking north.
At Mayapur.
Yeah. And so he would probably be seeing on the side all this going on. You know, because he'll move around. Like that. That may be his seat, but then he'll wander and like that. So it's... In other words, we just have that faith of what they're giving us. Otherwise, then there's a thing, something's been changed. And so let's go find out what it, you know, and get back the original. No, the original thing is still there. It's intact. But the point is the people are unqualified.
Like Krishna says,
it
appears to be lost.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's lost,
but it appears. Yeah. The process is there. It's just cheap. It means this is just a trick of the sahajas. They will say all these things, that it's all, you know, this bhav and this and that. At the same, in the same breath, they will argue about our line doesn't have a proper diksha pranali, which means vaidhi. You know, that's the interesting thing. In the same breath, is they'll say we don't have a proper line because we're a siksha pranali. We have diksha lines, but that's considered secondary. The siksha pranali is the main. You know, and they see us as vaidhi, you know, vaidikas. And they, who claim to be, you know, these great raganugas and all this, they're totally into diksha pranali, which is, by definition, the Vaidhi line. You know? Like that, you'll find that. They're totally into their thing and their position and this and that. So it's just a trick of mine, that's all. They say all these things just to get people to come and follow them, that's all. Like that. But it's not important. All these things, not what they say, is not important. You know, the process is there, and when one is ready, it will be revealed. That doesn't, so one has to work on making oneself qualified. That's the thing. Okay, we should end.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.